Welcome back to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today on the show, I am talking to the founder of Pampiano, Jennifer Brown. Inspired by South America's rich heritage of unrivaled horsemanship and traditional leather work, Pampiano evolved from the polo fields of central Argentina. Pampiano remains one of the few brands with quality and craftsmanship at its heart. Continuing the cherished techniques of the South American artists, Pampiano uses only premium grade butter soft vegetable tan leather and the finest luxury natural textiles and threads available. And here to talk about Pampiano in her own words is the founder, Jennifer Brown.
So my name is Jenny. I founded Pampiano 15 and a half years ago when I was living in South America, in Argentina specifically, and spending, well, I was living there, but also, you know, coming back to the UK a bit and going back and forth for subsequent years.
So what was what were the first steps of starting the brand after going back and forth to South America?
So I had quite a few friends who came out to stay when I was there, and they encouraged me to start a business. When they came to stay, I would say things, you know, I would tell them my ideas, and they said, just do it. And so I did it. They have these beautiful shops called Talabaterias, where the sort of really high quality leather goods would be sold along with clothing and equestrian articles, all artisanal, handmade, beautiful things made of natural products. And both myself and my friends who had come out would just sort of fall in love when you walk into these shops. The smell of the leather, the quality of the products, the absence of plastic, which 15, 16 years ago wasn't a sort of an environmentally aware perspective. It was just something really lovely about the basic quality of the product. Well, they were basic products, but the quality was very, very evident. And all using natural materials. I remember discussing with a couple in particular how much the European customer would love what we were loving. And so really that was about as thought through as it was. I found factories to work with, and I gave them my designs for various leather goods, and they started to produce them. We came up with the name Pampiano. It means from someone from La Pampa, which is the central part of one of the central provinces of Argentina. And I started bringing them over and started selling them with not really a clue of how retail works. But I learned. So
you started the business while you were living in South America, or were these just designs that were getting influenced while
you were visiting? It was more the designs. I'd moved back to the UK when I then started. I got the website built. The first version of the website was sort of 5-6 websites on from that. Once I was back in the UK is once I received my first delivery of stock. So, yes.
And what were the early products? What were you focusing on at the start?
Well, it was quite an interesting sort of mistake. My focus at the very beginning was travel bags. I brought some other things as well, like handbags and belts. But for me, it was all about travel bags. And it was quite an interesting mistake, because if you're an unknown brand, a leather travel bag is quite expensive, and people are not going to pay sort of £300 they might if they know you, who were my first customers, but unknown people who don't know the brand, who don't know the quality of the product, are not going to spend £300 straight off. So it was quite a sharp, sort of horrifying mistake to make. Like, oh God, I'm not selling very many of these travel bags. But what did sell were the belts. And so in a way, I sort of have reversed, and now my travel bags are selling well, but it because we're much more known as a brand. But it was the belts that did well from the big well you know, that started the business moving.
That's interesting.
And it has built up from there. But I actually had to sort of recede back to much lower price points, start to build a name, start to build a brand and a reputation for quality, and customer service.
Wow.
And then grow it up from there. So yeah, I suppose quite interesting with hindsight.
No, that's really fascinating, because you've obviously gone in with wanting to produce something that you fell in love with in the first place, which were the bags, and you kind of used that as your inception point. But it's interesting to me as an outsider listening to how consumers get confidence within a brand by maybe more accessible price points, and then think, well, we'll start with something smaller, like a belt perhaps, and then after that we know what the brand is like, we know how to deal with you, we know the quality is good, so then they can get the confidence to expand themselves within your range. So yeah, that's yeah. I think that's really interesting. And were there any, I want to say, like language or cultural barriers, because you're setting up something that's being produced over there, I presume, and the manufacturers are over there, but you're now back in the UK. So did you have anyone on ground zero over there that could maybe be the
I was visiting a lot, and I didn't speak any Spanish before I first went to Argentina, but by the end I had enough Spanish to speak to factories. But yeah, I still go back. I was last back a year ago, but colleagues have been since. I've got a young man in the team who has lived in Argentina himself for many years, and we've also got family connections with Argentina. So my children are half Argentine. So there's a lot sort of there's a lot of links. My father-in-law was actually born in Argentina, although is British. So there's lots of sort of reasons to be going back, but I've got. Yeah, in terms of sort of man on the ground, no, but we have, you know, really strong relationships with the people we work with out there. So
interesting. Do you think that would have been possible without those, you know, early relationships and your family
history? Yeah, I think so, definitely. Because, you know, we produce our packaging, for example, in China. I have actually been to China, but I haven't been to the factory where we produce the packaging, which is all and has always been plastic free. But, you know, it's a really good quality cardboard box that people reuse for their pens or whatever. But it's easier than people think to forge relationships with overseas suppliers. I think a lot of people do see it as a barrier, but I've been kind of always a bit gung-ho about it. And yes, I've definitely got it wrong. But, for you know, as long as it's more right than wrong, yeah, you get a bit wiser, I suppose, as the years go on. I mean, I've definitely got some things wrong.
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the Stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with moving tips in the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
Well, I mean, it was perhaps a little bit of a loaded question, because my girlfriend and I, we went to Hoi An a few years ago now. And I don't know if you've been to that part of the world, but there's one very long street that has about 400 odd tailors and seamstresses all the way down it. And it's UNESCO protected, and it's famous for the tailoring. And as we were getting some stuff made there, we thought, wow, the quality is really good. But there wasn't any online presence, you know, so we couldn't have repeat orders once we got back to the UK. And so I started to reach out to some of the people over there and some of the tailors. And I thought, is there any way that you can digitize any of like your consumer base and make like an online store? So, you know, you could package this and people that maybe come to Hoi An, they order their suit, but they don't have to wait around for a week or two to get it. You know, they can order it and then it can take as long as it wants. It can get shipped to wherever you are in the world. I just found that the communication and the intel, not having anybody there on the ground floor, as it were, or having a point man, was just the huge obstacle. And I couldn't develop any trust or relationship with these tailors just by, even though I just bought like a few suits. So I just found that whole process of getting it off the ground. I think the idea was good, but just no decent way to execute it.
Yeah, well, I suppose the advantage of well, working with people in Buenos Aires is it's very European anyway. So yes, I suppose that really the only barrier is the, well, a few barriers, but there's a cultural barrier, but the language is another, but international trade is not really one of them.
I was going to touch upon the products themselves. You have the briefcases, like laptop sleeves. It's all on the website, by the way, which is pampiano.co.uk. We'll leave a link in the show notes, and you can get a £10 gift
certificate. Actually, it's just about to change. Sorry, it's just about to change to pampiano.com. We managed finally to buy the domain last year.
Fantastic!
After 10 years of negotiation.
Okay.
Which means we dipped in and out and just kind of said no, we're not paying that, and then we come back 4 years later, and then we said, no, we're not paying that. And then we agreed something last year. So we finally managed to buy the domain.
Okay. Well, that's great. So pampiano.com, which is on its way.
Yes.
And I was going to just ask you the difference between the quality of leather goods that you might see, you know, perhaps on market stalls around the world. Are you, for someone like you, I'm imagining it's very easy to discern the quality, but maybe the layman that picks up a bag that is considerably cheaper, but doesn't know exactly what they're looking for in terms of quality. Perhaps you could highlight some of the differences on what makes Pampiano so good.
Well, I think a really nice, easy one is if it's veg tanned, as in vegetable tanned leather, it's, in my opinion, immediately nicer quality leather. It has a smell that's rich, and you walk into our warehouse and people say, oh, smell the leather. It's a lovely smell. I think you can buy candles with a leather smell. It's this veg tan leather that smells really, really good. And then the other thing about it is you can scratch it. So if you, and then you can polish it away. If it's been chrome dyed, as in with chemicals, you can't scratch it. And so if you imagine a really nice tanned, well, I've got a belt right here. If I where's it gone? This leather belt.
Okay.
You get a mark on it. Like you might get a scuff mark on a pair of shoes. You could absolutely polish that away and you'd never know there was a scratch on it. So that's a really nice way to see that this is a quality piece of leather that's been more expensively dyed with for example, bark of trees, so the vegetables. And it gives it this real rich pattern. When it's in use, the color may change slightly. For example, tan leather will go a much darker, richer color through use, and it you could say it sort of ages, it wears well. So that's one thing about the leather. And a lot of if it's chrome dyed, it's a very flat color.
Right.
And it just doesn't have its sort of luster. Somehow it just doesn't have the same sort of appeal. It's hard to describe, but the scratching and the smell is a great first point. We do have a lot of people copying our pretty unique embroidery work, but I can spot the cheap the significantly cheaper copies. I don't even need to go up to the person wearing it to know. And that is actually to do with the thread. But the copies made cheaply in the Far East, they're using the wrong thread. And it means that the threads come loose and that you can tell immediately that is not one of our South American belts. It's someone who's made a copy. And this copying is a problem, because people will come in and buy the cheap one and have a bad experience because the thread comes loose or the leather stretches or whatever. But if they've had one of ours first, or they hear from someone else, they do then come back to us and they say, I bought cheap ones, yours are the best. And, you know, there's just no point. Ours will last for 10 years. And in fact, we do have people coming back with, we used to have a different logo. We had someone email earlier this week, oh, the pin on my buckle has broken, can you help? And we sent them a new buckle. Obviously we needed to see a photo of the belt, but it was our old logo, which we got rid of in 2017. That particular design of belt we haven't had since 2016. So an 8-year-old belt, they were still wearing it. We replaced the buckle for them. No quibble. And you know, our products really last. So people then go and you know, they want different colors, so they'll have 3, 4, 5 of them built up over the years. And it's sort of my beloved belt. It's my wedding belt, my 21st belt. There's a, people seem to have a sort of a real affinity to this particular item, be it who gave them or what event they used it for, because it is more expensive. It is a quality product, but it lasts and it means something to a lot of our customers. Actually, it's really great seeing what they write in our annual survey.
That's fascinating. Do you find the cheap alternatives, the knockoffs, are they imitating your specific style with the labels on? Are they pretending to be you?
They're not pretending to be you, to be Pampiano, but they are copying our product. So I will go to trade fairs and I will walk around and find manufacturers who have copied 10 of our products, and they've got all 10 hanging up on their stand that are absolutely copied from our website. So we do block certain countries on our website, but of course they just need a VPN to get around it. But it's that that is infuriating. However, the quality is not there. So I just think with this, I mean, copying is meant to be flattery, isn't it? But it's not. It's bloody annoying. So we just have to, we just, in my opinion, we just have to keep moving faster or fast, do a really good quality product, and our reputation carries us forward. People will pay more for the one that is going to last. And it's the genuine article. You know, this is a handmade product made in South America with veg tan leather. It's got all the stamps to prove it. And we've become the brand that is the sort of gifting brand for this product range, which is predominantly the belts. That is our key. It's our hero product. And then we have all these product extensions like the dog collars that match. People like to match their dog. Or the horse, or the you know, for more, maybe more the more urban customer might buy the things you suggested, like the laptop sleeves or the messenger bag or the handbag and so on.
Yeah, I fell in love with the dog collars, by the way, so that's on the wish list for my cockapoo. Yeah, and I'd love to have like the matching one as well. So that's on the wish list most certainly. And you mentioned the gifting there. You do any bespoke work as well? That
we do, yeah. We've got on the website, there's a what we call a bespoke belt builder, which we're just about to overhaul actually, but you can completely design your own belt on that. It's a bit clunky. There's a new one that'll be going live in about 4 weeks, but yeah, customers love that, and they're asking us for the same but for dogs and for horses. So once the software has been redone, they'll be able to do that. But then so that's for the individual, but what we are doing increasingly is for schools, regiments, members clubs, corporates, is colors, because our products are so vibrant. We're doing it in the colors of the school. And in fact, there's one school where we've done it for every house in the school. So there's 8 houses and we've done it for each. And then alumni. So you might not wear a tie saying, oh, I'm a member of X club or I went to this school. But you know, because people don't really wear ties very much anymore. But it used to show, oh, yes, I'm a member of Guards Regiment, whichever regiment, or Blues and Royals or whatever. But now we're producing regiments. And the schools and clubs and corporates, so you can quietly show that your affinity or allegiance to the club, and someone else will know it who's also associated, but you're not sort of, you've not got it emblazoned on your t-shirt, I went to X school or X military. And that's a really great part of the business, actually.
Well, yeah, it must be quite exciting as well. Are you getting approached in particular by like clubs?
Yeah, we do.
They're coming to you.
Exactly, because we've got a bit of a reputation for doing it and doing a really, you know, we'll send CADs to the customer so they can see what it looks like before they buy it. And then they'll choose the design they like with their colors and then we'll produce it for them. And so then it was sort of word of mouth that's doing really well. We get a couple of inquiries a week actually on that.
Wow. Well, is there anything at the moment that you're personally very excited by that is on the horizon?
Yeah, we're talking to a restaurant, an Argentine restaurant chain about doing certain collaboration work. I won't say their name, but probably wouldn't be too hard to guess. But anyway, a really fantastic Argentine restaurant brand about doing collaboration with them through the year. So it's just a perfect fit, brand values and customer demographic and so on. So it's a very nice, will be a really, I'm really excited about that. We've also, earlier this year, we've hired a new MD who's got a wealth of experience, and I think her skill set complements mine with both, you know, she's really strong in things I'm not so strong on. So I think for driving the business forward as a sort of female pair to drive this business forward, I think we'll be really well placed with her joining us too. So
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Well, I was going to ask what your day-to-day job is within the company. I guess it's never the same, but is there like a normal day?
No, but I mean, obviously that's a good thing because, yeah, it's not repeat. There's never repeats, really. There isn't a normal day. It's so varied. But what are the bits I was thinking about, what do I really enjoy about my day job? And I think it's the deal making. It's not even the money. It's just about, oh, yes, we got it. Or, oh, I've seen this great product and we can produce it, something similar or whatever. I sort of love that bit of it. There's a real sort of, you know, I may meet a really, you know, customer we've worked with for a long time and then they agree to do something really different. I just sort of love that. And it, you know, I don't think it really translates to the finances around it. It's just about sort of a deal.
Yeah, getting something over the line and also yeah, someone exactly. else wanting to be a part of your journey as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. And I love going to visit the factories and the travel associated. So that's another really fantastic part of it. So
fantastic. Well, I was going to ask what the future is. I mean, I know that we've got the new website, new restaurant. Is there any plans for more trade shows this year or bricks and mortar?
Yeah, so we're doing a lot in the US, actually. So this year we've done 3 trade fairs so far. A trade fair is where you're selling to retailers. So we did 3 in January, and we've secured a really big retailer in the US. And I think there's huge opportunity for us out there. So a 300 door retailer is taking us on in August. And that could just sort of make the business go bang because they've got the volume. We know people love the product. We just haven't until the last sort of year, I'd say post COVID, we haven't really found our way through, but doing lots of trade fairs, building up a network of agents, we're starting to get a lot more traction over in the US. And I've got a young lady who looks after the US business, she's really very, very good. She's been driving the business forward out there. So I think the big opportunity for us is the US. Our wholesale business is really well set up, and our competitors in the US, in it doing a similar product, not the same but similar, are not very well set up. So I think the opportunity is absolutely there, and we know that the American consumer loves our product range.
Well, why wouldn't they? Well, hopefully, if people in the UK can get to see the products, it's mainly online, but there'll be maybe some concessions around the corner.
Well, we've got about 300 stockists around the world, so predominantly in the UK, probably 180 in the UK, 50 in Europe, and 50 in the US. So, yeah, there's loads of places people can find us.
Brilliant. And people can find the stockists on the website, which we'll link to again in the show notes. Jennifer, thanks so much for taking time out. Really
pleasure.
Interesting.
Thank you,
and love the product. So we'll... hopefully I'll be showing them off on my dog sometime soon. But in the meantime...
All right. Well, I can send you one, Peter.
Oh, bless, bless.
Get you to give me a favourable photo or something. And I'll send you a dog.
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, until next time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more men's